You know, this world has a lot of trouble, a lot of evil. And in this coming day, in these hours, this world needs a people of God that have a foundation of strength and power at work in their life. This world needs people who can discern what's going on in people's lives and be able to speak truth into their lives and encouragement, that can pray when God calls them in a moment to pray for someone. You know, there's a lot of fear in our world right now, especially with that virus going around and all the talk and, you know, what do you believe, what don't you believe. But in the midst of it all, there's a fear. But this world needs people who don't stand in fear, who trust in a God who loves them. Now, I think you should be careful and wash your hands. But, you know, we can't fear. We can't be the people that all of a sudden, you know, God is with us and then he's not. God is with us. That's the type of people that God is building. That's the church that he wants, a church that is revived in their hearts and their spirit, that is filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, that's passionate about Christ, and is overcome with the joy that God puts in them. That's the type of people that God is building and growing, and that's you. That's you. God wants to fill you with his Spirit. And you know, we've heard of the old days. I've been a part of some of those days when the Holy Spirit was pulled out and people would be healed at an altar and completely come out of their wheelchair, you know, or broken bones would be healed. You know, backs would be restored. I had my back restored in an instant by God. So I know he can do it, and I'd love for him to do it again. But we got to be people that know our God. And we've got to be people of faith, and we've got to believe that everything he teaches us is important, and that we would know our God. So we would sacrifice some of the comforts of our life to get into his word and to pray and to listen and allow him to mold our lives and to fill us. Now I'm going to be speaking in a moment, but Chad, we got to do that song again because we need to understand that do it again one, because we've got to let God do it again in our lives. How many of you have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you've experienced the presence of God in a powerful way in your lifetime? Okay, would you want to settle for just that? Or would you want him to do it again in our lives and in the life of the church? Because the church needs the Holy Spirit, and without the Holy Spirit, this world will never be reached for Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who draws people to Christ. And the Holy Spirit at work in his people draws people to Christ. And we need a revival. And a revival is not about me. The revival is about God's Spirit moving on this earth so that people come into the kingdom of God. And their eternal salvation is confirmed in Christ. And they come to Christ and their life is forgiven forever. That's what it's all about. And that's why we need a revival. Not for me, it's for God's work on this earth. So would you be willing this morning as we sing this again to open up your heart and just say to God, God, would you just do it again in my life? Fill me again, God. Renew me again. God, fill me with that power. Fill me with that Spirit. God, so that I can be a light in this world, this light in the darkness, this hope in a hopeless world. It's not going to get brighter out here, but it should get brighter in here. Would you just surrender yourself this morning? Kind of make this room an altar for a moment. If you need to put your hands out and your palms up and just receive from the Lord, let's give God a few moments just to see what he might want to do in your and my life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. God, you're amazing and awesome, glorious, wonderful. God, we bless your name. Continue to do a work in our lives, God. Don't stop, God. Don't ever stop. Thank you that you're always with us. Praise your name. Glory to your name, God. Praise your name. Oh, God is good. All the time. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to take a little turn here. You know, in the Bible, when you read it, and I'm guessing you all read it, and you know how sometimes it just, you know, it's English, it says what it says, and sometimes it's repetitive in a sense. So I'll give you an example. When Jesus was teaching, he would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." So it wasn't like, "Verily, I say unto you." It was like, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And word "verily" basically means truth. So truthfully, I say to you. So why would Jesus, you know, to go "verily, verily" sometimes? It's because when they emphasized the word "verily" or "truthfully," it meant pay attention. Like, this is truth. This is something important I'm going to share with you. So when Jesus did it twice, and "verily, verily," he was emphasizing that it was important that we listen to what he is about to say. You know, in Scripture also, you'll notice from whether it's Isaiah 6 in that picture of Isaiah when he sees heaven, and that other thing where in the New Testament in Revelation, you go the other way, and you see that picture of God in heaven and the descriptions of that. And in the midst of that, there's that description where the angels are singing and declaring and speaking. And really what they're saying is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, it's important as God's people to recognize our God and who he is and how amazing he is. He's God. He's not human. He's not flesh. He's God Almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient. God is all things and high above. And the Bible, when the angels would declare that because they've seen God in his majesty, it was, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And if we could grasp that picture of God, that God is holy, he's huge, he's amazing. And if we would live our lives with that picture and that knowledge and that truth in our minds, that God is who he is, he's set apart, and we would live our lives to know him and honor him and give him the glory he deserves. You know, Lisa, last week when she was beginning her song service, she mentioned a story in the Old Testament of Jehoshaphat and the armies of Israel, when they were threatened by multiple armies against them. And really, they were outnumbered, they were outgunned. It was not a good thing that was about to happen to them as they were challenged. And I just want to read to you a bit of that story when they were going through this. You know, it says, "In the midst of the assembly of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he said to the people, 'Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's.'" How many of you could use that encouragement this morning? "Tomorrow, go down against them." Okay, let me rephrase. Okay, now hold it, God. How many armies are against us? How many people? How big are we? And what? "Go down against them." Okay. "Behold, they'll come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You'll need not fight in this battle. You need not fight in this battle, but station yourselves." That's be people of faith, right? "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord in your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." What a great word to hear in times of trouble, eh? Somebody would come to you where God would stir them of the gifts of the Spirit, and they'd come up to you and they didn't even know the midst of the trouble you're in, and say to you, hey, you know what? The Lord just said to me, don't be fearful, don't be dismayed. You know, God, you know, He's got your back. Just carry on, go ahead, do that thing, make that decision, go stand there and watch God do His thing. How many of you would like God to do more of His thing where you didn't rely on yourself to do it? Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It wasn't, well, what am I going to do? What's the game plan? I see I see what's going on here, the mountain. And God sort of told me, I believe, to not worry. Stand and have faith. He would do it. So what do? You get on your face before God. You bow yourself before God. And you worship Him. You don't come up with a game plan. You don't come up with the three I do's I got to do. It's get before God and worship the one who can do it. They rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness. And when they went out, Jehovah stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, I loved when Lisa said that last week. It hit me fresh and anew because, these people were appointed. So all of a sudden, the army would always go out in the front and fight. And then all of a sudden, in faith, as an act of faith, Jehoshaphat tells the singers and the worshipers, you go out in front and you begin to worship God. And they began to sing. And as they sang, the battle, was supposed to rage. It was God's battle and God was doing what He wanted to do. And sometimes in our life, when we get hit with circumstance, and in this world today, even some of the things that happen, instead of putting our eyes on those things, that we put our eyes on the Lord. And praise is a powerful weapon. God has given us the ability to praise and to sing His name. Because when we praise and when we sing and give Him glory and honor, the walls begin to tear down and our faithlessness begins to be built up. As we honor God, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. They weren't routed with sword here, their own swords, like Israel's or Judah's. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked down toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking up the spoil because there was so much. It's like going to these, it's not exactly the same thing, but you go into Walmart and they tell you, hey, for 3 days you can carry out whatever you want. Isn't that the kind of God we need to trust in and hope in and believe in? In the days that we face, the troubles, the trials, isn't it a good thing to be able to trust in a God who's stable, who's got a foundation, who's a cornerstone, who's that underneath laying girding strength of our lives, holding us up in the time of trouble and trial? Praise. We need to praise God more. Garment of praise. Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Not allow heaviness to determine our lives, determine our temperature, whether we have joy in the Lord or not. But that we would have a garment of praise in our life. You know, those of you that sing in the shower, it's a good thing to sing in the shower to the Lord. Because you sound great no matter what. You know, we got to speak out the praises of God. We've got to acknowledge who we believe in, who we love, who we serve, who we're called to faith in. When you look at the seven Hebrew praise words, you know, for praise and honoring God and lifting up God, one of them is tudel. It's to acknowledge and adore, to confess God's works and character in thanksgiving, to sing and declare the goodness and the greatness of God. So when we were here this morning and we were being led by this group on stage and they're singing and leading us in song, it's not just something we randomly do or we just do because it's a good thing to do on Sunday. There's a reason why we sing. It's a praise. It's an offering to God where we declare His goodness and His greatness. And we offer up thanksgiving. Let it from within us just declare God's gratefulness, how grateful we are to the God who loves us and saved us. Tudel. Did you know you were tudeling today? Another word is yadel. It's to stretch out the hands to worship. You know, some of us need to get those shoulder joints exercising sometimes. Amen. You know, sometimes we might be embarrassed, but you know what? You know, there's something about abandoning yourself and lifting up your hands to the one who loves you and just worshiping Him and honoring Him. You know, if you do it for the entire praise section, you're probably going to get tired in your shoulders. You know, it's okay to adjust if you're really tired. Yadao, lifting up our hands in thanksgiving to worship God. You know what else it means? That word yadao, you know, you're to throw your hands out in power, because what it does, it means that you're defeating an enemy. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Boy, I'm starting to sound like one of those preachers from the 70s. Number three, the Hebrew word is barak. It's to kneel before God in adoration, to invoke God, to praise, to celebrate, to bless God on bended knees, to acknowledge one's dependency, our poverty of spirit, and our bankruptcy without Him. You know, you will not offend your pastor if we're in the middle of a worship service and you feel the need to get on your knees before God. You'll never offend me. Because when you get on your knees humbly before God and you acknowledge that you are nothing without Him, you do something for my spirit and for the people around you. You know, there's a humility that we give to God. It's not about what I look like. It's about who do I need? And I need God. To kneel in adoration and confession before God in humility. I think a lot of us need a lot more barak in our lives. Shabak. It's to address God with a loud noise, with a loud voice, to give forth a shout of praise. Now, we all know who in this church doesn't have an issue with Shabbat. You know, it's okay. And you know, when we sang that song, now I'm just going to be totally out to the last one. And, you know, when he was telling us to, you know, testify. You know, it's okay for some of you when he says to testify, for you actually to lift the elevation of your voice level. You know, turn the volume up and to give God praise out loud and shout it out. It's okay to do that because He invited us to do it. Amen. You were told you could do it. So it's okay to shout sometimes. And you know, when you're in your car and nobody's with you, that's a great time to practice this. Halal is the fifth one. It means to shine clear in character, to be brilliant in sound. You know, some people do this better than us others. To be extremely expressive before God. So much as to appear clamorously foolish, to boast, glory, delight, and abandon oneself in the presence of the Lord. Now, a lot of people have a real issue with this one because, you know, we are prim and proper people, you know, and we don't want to, you know, get really out of hand. But, you know, sometimes it's okay when the Spirit leads, you know, to give your honor to God. You know, there are things you shouldn't do. You know, like Judy probably wouldn't take a flag and, you know, start whomping Ron on the head with it. Because to me, that would look clamorously foolish, right? But there's a discretion we use. But, oh, if some of you could, you don't have to fly all over and off the balcony. But, you know, it's okay to sway. You know, it's okay to get a little excited about God. You know, you don't have to worry, you know, what you look like. Because God loves it. Right? It's okay to just let God know how much we love Him and to glory and delight ourselves in Him. Sixth one is zamar. And it's to touch the strings. Now, Chad was doing this today. And to play musical instruments before God and to sing as a company to make music. So really, when you think about it, you had your musicians on stage, the three of them playing, and then you had Samuel with his vocals, and they got us all to lift up music to the Lord. That's what that Hebrew word means. It's when God's people come together and the instruments start to play and the voices begin to praise. It's what we were doing this morning was zamar. And the last one is tehillah. Tehillah means to sing songs of praise. And there's a distinction with tehillah from the other one earlier, and it's this. It's the ability to sing a new song to the Lord. So you know that I do this if you've been around at all for any length of time. I like to do tehillah. I like to experience that where I begin to sing to the Lord. And I don't need a song lyrics. You know, you go off cue. And this is what I don't turn my mic on while Chad's trying to lead you in a song and sing something else completely. But I do voice it out. And sometimes it's good for us all to stop and just sing a new song to the Lord. And really, it's just songs of praise. You know, God, you're beautiful. How I love you, Lord. You're so amazing, God. You are worthy of my praise, oh God. I rejoice in you. I glory in you, God. You've been faithful to me, God. So my eyes are fixed on you. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Tehillah. It's going from where we sing songs into a place where we just begin to sing worship to God. Tehillah. It's spontaneous. It happens at the different times, and I hope you experience this in the course of your days. You know, you just all of a sudden begin to burst out in song and sing to the Lord. Hebrew praise words. They're there for a reason. They're there to show us that we ought to praise the Lord with expressions of praise and words and song and instruments to give glory and honor to the one who loves us. And folks, when you learn how to do this with passion and you begin to practice it and you begin to get involved in your life, what you see is that those things that come against us in life begin to take a dim place to the glory of who we have in our lives. And that's Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God lives and dwells within us. And you see, Jehoshaphat and them experienced it in a very visible, tangible way where they were outgunned. And they were just told to go with the singers in front, get stationed. And why to station? So they could watch what God did. And God confuses the other armies. And that's what happens to us when we learn in the circumstances of our life. That if we would just lift up praise and honor to God, we would shout His praise, declare His praise, abandon ourselves, and just want to please Him, then we begin to see walls fall down in our lives. Sin becomes less attractive. You know, temptations won't be overtaking us. And God will be given the place in our lives that He deserves. It's first, it's foremost, it's at the front of our lives. You accept that today? Let's be a people of praise. Let's be a people of faith. Let's put our eyes on God. And let's remember who loves us more than anyone else or anything else. God, You are good. And You are true to Your word, God. And God, when we put You first and we seek You first, God, all life just seems to make its order. And God, we today acknowledge, God, that we need You. God, that we need You more than anything else in our lives. And God, we praise You. And would You teach us, Holy Spirit, more and more in life, no matter what's going on in our lives, to lift up our voices and our spirits to the One who loves us. And God, thank You so much for all that You've done in our lives. God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know, we are here this morning because in our sin and separation from God, Jesus came to this earth to lay His life down and to take our punishment upon Himself, to die on that cross for our sin. And as we sung earlier, through the power of His blood that was shed so long ago, that blood cleanses us, takes our sin away, and gives us relationship and right standing with God again. I'd like us to celebrate that. This is kind of like the exclamation mark. You know, that we would celebrate communion together, remembering again what God has done for us. And let's praise Him. Vocally, let's praise Him for what He's done for our lives. We're going to serve a little differently again today. Do it once in a while, but I'd like you to quietly come and get your elements. And I'd like you to take communion with the Lord this morning. And just thank Him and acknowledge Him and reaffirm your commitment to Him. And do it as an act of praise, as an act of worship this morning, that you and Him would share communion, because Jesus died for you. Make it personal, because even though He died for the world, He died for you. So if you would do that with me this morning, and the Bible says if you to examine yourself before you take communion, just make sure your relationship with God is right and with other people. And if you need to get something right with somebody or with God, you can do that here if they're here. And if they're not here, you know, make a commitment to God to go and do what you can. But don't make that commitment if you're not going to do it. Be honest with God. So let's examine ourselves as we take communion. And you don't have to be a regular attender here. If you're visiting this morning and you have a faith in Christ, you can take communion with us. And you know, I just got to pause in prayer again for a moment. I just feel a light of the Lord. If you're in the room today and you've never realized or accepted Jesus into your life, you never recognized that He died on that cross for your sin, the Bible says all of us have sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. We all need a Savior. And Jesus, if you could picture on that cross, is like a bridge between God and ourselves. And that cross takes care of our sin. We need to believe in our heart, confess our sin, and believe in our heart that Jesus died on that cross and that God rose him from the dead. And he lives again in heaven right now. And if you're at a place where you'd be willing to, in faith this morning, accept and believe, then just pray a little prayer. And just acknowledge God and say, you know, God, I don't understand it all, but, you know, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So forgive my sin. And God will take the rest of the journey with you and make it clear. But if you're in that place, go ahead and do that right now. So folks, this is how we're going to end the service. Just give you a moment with God in communion. And give him a bit of time and praise. And when you're ready, we'll have our greeting time in the foyer. And have joy together in life. But let's just have a solemn moment with God and acknowledge him this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. God, thanks for loving your people. We appreciate you, God. Thank you so much. Praise your name. I was back at the back here, and I just felt like a change of thought. I think we should all stand, and we should sing praise to God and give him praise today. We should practice what I preached. Is that fair? Praise you, Lord. Picture in front of you right now. You just do it individually. Just picture a mirror facing you, a big, you know, adult-sized one. And you're looking in the mirror. You see yourself? God loves that person. So now I want you to look in the mirror again, and I want you to smile. It's okay to be happy, to smile, to be joyful, to praise God because God lifts our spirits. Right, Judy? Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's clap, let's sing, let's praise the Lord because he is worthy. Praise the Lord. We have a big God, don't we? Amen. God bless your church. And may faith arise in our spirits. And God, may we just have the most amazing week where we just are full of joy and song and praise. God, put that song in our hearts and in our lips. And we thank you in Jesus, your wonderful name. Well, we're going to miss you the next couple of Sundays. We're off on holidays, but you'll be well taken care of. And Pastor Tiffany is here. If you have anything come up, you can call the church. If she doesn't answer, leave a voicemail and she'll follow up. But have a great couple of weeks, and we plan to. So get some rest and some sun and some warm weather. Let's fellowship together out in the coffee together.